Good morning.
What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating a multitude of gifts and blessings that come to us from Almighty God. At the early service, I did not come out and greet people because of the bug that I have, and I'm not going to do that at this service, and I'm not going to greet you out at the back of the church either, because I don't think you all want to have this cough or cold that I have again, and I'll do my best to keep it to myself. But it is a great joy to see you, and to know that even though it's kind of dreary and cold and windy outside, when you get above the clouds, indeed that sun is boldly and brilliantly shining. I'm going to try to say that word again. I thought this morning of, in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the abominable. That word just does not want to come out today. That big white furry snow thing that came in and said, it's not fit outside for man nor beast. And it just kind of seems that way today. But I know who the diehards are between the two services. And indeed, this is a great day to be here, for it is a day that God has made. So let us continue to rejoice and be glad in it because of God's presence in our lives. So let us continue as we unite our hearts and our spirits in worship.
Please rise for our call to worship. I will extol you, O Lord. You have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. Sing praises to the Lord, faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Would you please remain standing for Hymn of Praise, number 733, Marching to Zion. Please remain standing and join with me in our opening prayer. Holy One, you turn our mourning into dancing. Speak to us in silence, in words and in actions, that as we gather today to praise you, we may hear your voice. Transform us, we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please turn to page 762 in your red hymnal and join with me in Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. By your favor, O Lord, you have established a strong mountain. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have lost my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise you and not be silent. We offer a warm welcoming to all those who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us, and our local Boy and Girl Scouts, past and present, on this Scouting Ministry Sunday. As I am sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that the ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. I have a couple quick announcements this morning. The Nurture Committee meeting is Thursday at 7 o'clock. For all youth in attendance, Jack needs to know today if you will be attending the district youth retreat. If you have any questions or want information on the retreat, you can contact him. To highlight a few in our bulletin, name tags. Beginning on February 26th and continuing every Sunday through Easter, the Witness Committee would like everyone to wear your name tags. We have many visitors during this season, and this is one way to welcome them. The tags are grouped by families and may be picked up in the narthex. The winter soup sale, we are still looking for soup makers to make their famous soup for after services in January and February. If you would like to make a soup or help out, you can contact Beverly, and her phone number is printed in the bulletin. The Greensburg United Methodist Women. The Greensburg District United Methodist Women will hold their annual Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, February 22nd. The service at Bethany United Methodist Church in Latrobe. The registration for that begins at 9 o'clock, and the service begins at 9:30. If you plan on attending, please contact Bernie for further details. I believe Diane has an announcement.
A couple of corrections to the bulletin. On today, the choir Valentine party and Sunshiners are incorrect in your bulletin. It's actually at 2 o'clock, and that's for the kids who are in Sunshiners and Temple Chimes. We have their Valentine party. The dance team on Tuesday is not at 3. It's actually, I believe, at 3:30, although the girls get here around 3. If there's anybody else who's interested in taking part in the dance troupe, let me know. It also says that we're starting the Living Last Supper choir rehearsals on Thursday. That's normal choir practice. And the Living Last Supper choir rehearsals will begin on the 23rd, so the next week. If there are any of you who would like to come and sing just for that choir, the rehearsal will start at 8 o'clock. And I am in need of an angelic person for Easter Sunday. I need an angel. So if anybody feels particularly angelic, let me know. Thank you.
Kimmy has an announcement.
Good morning. As today is Girl Scout and Boy Scout Sunday, I thought it would be appropriate to make this announcement today. As a 12-year Girl Scout, I am starting my Gold Award project, and for that, I am going to be making one of the upstairs Sunday school rooms into a reading room for kids. And I have a set of really nice bookcases, but I need to fill them with kids' books. So I'm asking if any of you have any old kids' books at home, like if your kids are grown up or you're not using them anymore. I need new and gently used books for kids ages 6 to 13. I cannot use anything that has anything inappropriate in it or old, like encyclopedias or anything like that. It's ages 6 to 13, so if you have any books, I would greatly appreciate your help. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements this morning? The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. How are you all this morning? Did you enjoy the snow? Not yet. Are you going out and playing this afternoon? And you know, if it had been like tomorrow, you'd have had the day off. Or a delay. I know. All the snow, it seems, happens on the weekends. Oh, well. You'll have all your Easter vacation and all your other days off. Yeah. You don't have to make them up. Yep. Yep. Hey, have you ever done anything with sports? No? How about a play? Have you ever been in a play? Anybody play a musical instrument?
Yes, kind of.
Kind of? What do you play? He wants to play the piano.
He plays the temple. He plays the temple chimes.
You play the chimes, yes. Do you play the chimes?
I play violin.
Violin? Nothing?
Violin and chimes.
Violin and chimes, yeah. I took piano lessons for like 7 years. I should have taken what? Dulcimer lessons. We have one of those at home. Three string or four string? Ours is three. Leanna's grandfather made it. It's called a mountain dulcimer from West Virginia. But you know, you'll never hear me play the piano. You know why? Because I hated to what? Huh? How do you know? I hated to practice. I had to play every song 6 times.
I had to play
10. 10 times. Well, I'll tell you what my trick was, and it didn't work. I'd get my hands on the note. How many times did I have to play?
Six
times. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then I'd go to the next note. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It doesn't work. Now, it doesn't work. I tried to practice that way, but it doesn't work. So you can't do that on your violin either. Doesn't work that way. Abigail's on the cello. It doesn't work that way. Boo, 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 boo. Uh-uh. Oh, was I too low? It's my voice today. Yeah. And now, I did run cross country when I was in high school. Had to practice every morning and every afternoon. And I had a bad coach, I think. He was bad in one thing. When we would go to meets, he would say, "There are girls running today, and none of these girls should beat any of you boys." And I kept my mouth shut, but I thought, I've been running for 3 months. Some of these girls have been running for 6 years. If they beat me, so what? Because they had been practicing longer and had better abilities, and some of them would beat me. When Andrew ran track and cross country, you know how tall Andrew is. He had a girl that he could put his arm on her head. She was only this big. He could never beat her in 3 miles. She always would beat him, even with his legs, because she was a better distance runner. Today in the scripture, Paul talks about when we do things, we need to do them to the best of our ability. And that even goes into church. So we have some neat things to be able to do in the life of the church. We have... What is that we can read? What's that called in the church? We can read the Bible, the Old and the New Testaments, and we can be involved in prayer. So those are two things that you can do at home by yourselves. If you have some big words, your moms and dads can help you. But reading the Bible and prayer every day is how that strengthens us so that we might be faithful to what God is calling us, all of us, to do. Just like we have to practice some things, whether it be chimes or singing or music or drama or exercise, we also need to practice and do things in the life of the church so that we can fully become what God calls us to be. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We pray that you would continue to bless them and strengthen them, guide and direct them in all that they do and say, that they might be your children in the world. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Can you help me out there? You can get a red or a green cup today. Come now to the time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. On the back of our worship folder with the list of our prayer concerns, Philip Hawk has been discharged from the hospital. So we'll want to continue to remember him as well as Kathy Passapanke, who was home, who was with us here this morning, incidentally, and remember Dennis Hearn in Westmoreland Hospital. And I've had these additions this morning. Kathy listed her sister, Nedra Gilpin, who is in Westmoreland Hospital. So as she said, we're kind of doing this one-in, one-out type ordeal. So Nedra and Charles Snyder, and also Ruth McCombie. We'll want to continue to remember those individuals in prayer, as well as the multitude of the list of others that are listed there in our worship folders as well. So let us continue to unite our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, in the stillness of this day, in the calmness of creation, we experience a sense of joy and celebration. We come here, O God, knowing that we can experience your presence. For outside the walls of the church, life gets so hectic. We're pushed and pulled in many different directions. Many people are speaking. We hear voices all around us. And at times it's difficult to set time aside of peace and quiet, just to ponder the good news. So we pray, O God, that in these moments today, that your Spirit might indeed touch ours. For we know that you desire good things for each and every one of us. We, O God, as your people, have been blessed so that we might be a blessing to those that we meet and encounter every day. And we know, Lord God, that there have been times when we have been faithful, and there have been those times when we have not. But we know that you are loving and gracious and forgiving. So we would ask and pray, O God, this day that your grace and forgiveness might indeed be sufficient within the lives of each and every one of us, that we might be restored in your sight, that we might be restored in the sight of those around us, and that we might faithfully begin to pick up the pieces, mission and ministry, and to respond to the needs that surround us every day. Oh God, you call us to go forth with the good news of Jesus Christ radiating forth from within each and every one of us, that we might live it and share it with the world. Oh God, we pray that the good news might indeed become good news in our lives. We pray this day for the hurts and needs of your people, the names of individuals on our prayer list, those that have been voiced this day, and for the situations, O God, upon our hearts that cannot be made public. O God, we pray that you will hear the prayers of your people. But we know also, oh God, when we turn on the news or pick up a publication, that there are many hurts and needs around the world. Those last night who were cold. Those that aren't sure where their next meal is coming from. Those that aren't sure where their next paycheck is coming from. Those that are pushed aside and marginal in the world. There are those who are being oppressed and those who are oppressing. There is hatred, there is war, there is anger. Oh God, we pray for the light of Christ, for a peace that passes our understanding, for a joy that we celebrate each and every day. Oh God, we pray for that moment in time when indeed individuals around the world will bring honor and glory to your kingdom. Oh God, we pray that your hands will continually be upon each and every one of us, molding and shaping us that we might be the child that you have created us to be, to live and to share and proclaim your good news. Oh God, as we go forth into the world, we pray that we might follow your presence and be aware of your guiding and directing hands today and the days ahead. Oh God, we ask and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
The grace that sought my heart on that first day be the grace that binds my heart to stay. May the truth that opened up my eyes on that first time be the thoughts on my mind that never go away. For you are a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You're the hand that's holding me, faithful God. Every promise kept, every need you've met, faithful God. The love that caught my heart to set it free be the love that others see in me. And may this hope that reaches to the depths of human need be the song that I sing in joy and suffering. For you are the love that never leaves, the friend that won't deceive. You're the one true thing, faithful God. Every promise kept, every need you've met, faithful God. And all I am
mine, O love, that will not let me go. How deep the love, how deep the love, redemption's mine.
Gracious and forgiving God, we long to be the disciples who you give you our very best, our strongest witness, our mightiest efforts, and our first and best fruits. When we fall short, still you take what we make available and do great things. Bless what we offer now. Fill it with your power so that lives may be touched, the world transformed, and your power and love be praised by all. We pray it. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
Please be seated. Years ago, it seemed that we had two separate Scout Sundays, and they were, 4 to 6 weeks apart. And in the last few years, the United Methodist Church has brought those two together, and we celebrate Scouting on one Sunday, which happens to be today. I see we've got some of our Scouts in uniform. Is Kyle still here? Where'd he? No. He's what? Oh, he's doing another scout thing somewhere else. I saw you, Katrina, and I thought, well, where's Kyle? Kyle was here in uniform. We've got all four of you in uniform. How many, if you have been involved in scouts, either as a scout or as a scout leader, why don't you stand for us? Wow, look at everyone. How many are behind me? I better turn around here and look behind me as well. Well, let's, I didn't have them stand at the early service, but so you're unique, but let's give them a round of applause for their work with the youth and children in the community. You may be seated. I figure this, that any time we have other teens that are willing to welcome other youth, and we have moms and dads that are willing to open up their schedules and give time so that we can get the kids off the streets and something, well, and even get them away from the TVs and the video games, but to be involved in something worthwhile. That indeed is a great joy to celebrate. So thank you all for your time and your talents and your effort of being involved in the scouting program. In looking at today's scripture, a reading from 1 Corinthians, let me first say that Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians, these two letters, to the church at Corinth. Now, Corinth was an interesting seaport town that I guess the easiest way to sum it up is that it was a sailor's port. It was not a good place to go visit. It was a place that was rampant with there's no way to sugarcoat it. It was just a phenomenally sinful town. It even became kind of a nickname that if you really wanted to dig at someone, you called them a Corinthian. That was not a good name. And yet in the midst of all of that world and that place, Paul saw to it that there was at least the light of Christ that was shining. And so the church there was started. It wasn't without its struggles. Paul was not without his struggles with individuals there as well. So listen now and hear these words that Paul writes to them from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. May God's richest blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, for this day we give you thanks. For the teachings of your great servant Paul, we are indebted to you. We pray now, O God, that you would bring comfort and rest to each and every one of us from those things in our daily lives, those things past, present, and yet to come that might call and push us away. And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The presidential primaries are upon us and have been going on for quite a while. The Pennsylvania primary is set for when? I will admit to you that I'm about as political as they come, and so I went online and typed in Pennsylvania primary, and it said, well, that's a good question because we're not really sure yet. It's scheduled for April 24th, but because of some protesting or legislation opposing evidently some of the redistricting in some areas, that may or may not yet happen. So time will tell whether indeed it is the 24th of April or gets moved. So we know that pretty soon then we're going to get inundated with TV commercials, ads in the newspaper, and all kinds of publications that we're going to get bombarded with why we should vote for candidate A and why we should not vote for candidate B. It's no wonder that political campaigns are more popularly known as races. Those individuals that are running for office have been running around as that proverbial chicken with their heads cut off, moving from place to place and town to town within the states that are having or have already had their primaries, trying to encourage why they should be voted for and become the top runner. Indeed, the metaphors for the presidential campaign come almost exclusively from the worlds of racing and boxing. Go figure. The most popular candidate is almost always called the front runner, and if they are way ahead, it might be called a one-horse race, or they are lapping the field. If it's a close race, on the other hand, then of course they are running neck in neck, and the election then could go down to the wire as they make the final bend and come into the home stretch. Still, though, it's possible to run a good race, whether or not one is running for the presidency or any other elected position. Or perhaps if it's us here this morning, hoping to achieve a more attainable prize. You see, the Apostle Paul was fond of using racing and competition metaphors when talking about the Christian life, and his metaphors can teach us all about running the race of life with integrity, with passion, and with purpose. Lesson number one that Paul shares with us is run to win. Now, this seems obvious, of course, but for Paul, winning was not about achievement. Winning was not about status. Winning was not about one's office that they held. But rather, instead, for Paul, he understood winning as the ultimate goal in the race of pleasing Almighty God and living in relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul gives an account of his own conduct and his own discipline, telling his readers that his choices and his actions are not geared toward achieving some personal status or personal pleasures, but rather it's all motivated for him in pleasing God in such a way that in the end he will not be disqualified. Winning, in other words, meant achieving the kind of character and conduct that reflected his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, having then won that prize, or at least striving to win it, Paul then knew that his calling was to win others to Christ through his proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which occurred daily through his actions and through his deeds. The second lesson in this morning's scripture is Paul talks about exercising self-control. How do you win the prize that Paul is talking about? Well, it's not really that much different than from winning a competition of any kind. For that matter, you've got to be willing to work at it. Paul does say that athletes exercise self-control in all things. Athletes have to train diligently in order to have the ability to reach the finish line. Musicians must practice diligently in order to be accomplished on the instrument that they are performing. And so they have incredible self-control, giving up other things or situations with family or friends because of their training and their time of practice. So self-control, Paul says, is essential in winning. Indeed, Paul even names self-control as one of the sought-after fruits of the Spirit, or another piece of evidence indicating that we are on the winning track toward reflecting Christ in our lives. I mean, Paul says, I punish my body and enslave it so that its desires won't distract him from that self-control desire of being in relationship with God, of pleasing God, and living and sharing the good news with those individuals that Paul comes in contact with daily. When we practice spiritual disciplines, things like prayer and reading the scriptures and fasting and daily acts of compassion towards others, then we are focusing our daily lives, being involved in self-control, so that we might push towards, as Paul would say, winning the prize of pleasing God. And thirdly, Paul talks about living life with a purpose. And Paul again taps the competition metaphors when he says, so I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. Runners have a particular goal in mind, and boxers must eventually make contact with their intended target if they're going to be successful. You see, Paul also even refused to allow the criticisms of some people in the Corinthian church to sidetrack him from his purpose of preaching the gospel and of pleasing God. He understood that his life mission, to be bound up in proclaiming the risen Christ and the good news, so much so that he was willing to adapt his approach and his lifestyle in any way that was necessary in order to reach the different groups that he found he was placed in the midst of. Paul even said, when I need to be a Greek, I'm a Greek. When I need to be a Roman, I'm a Roman. Whatever was necessary so that he might share and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So you see, instead of pleasing the people that were surrounding Paul, Paul was always more interested in being faithful to pleasing God. Now I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has gifted and God has equipped each and every one of us in this sanctuary today. God has equipped us for a particular mission within the body of Christ for the purpose of being those agents that go out into the world to help change and transform and to make God's kingdom alive and active and ruling in today's world. Our first loyalty must always be to God and God's purposes as followers of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Jesus was focused on that particular purpose as well. Now, Jesus received a cross because he didn't please the right people. Paul would be thrown into prison repeatedly and abused in countless ways because, well, he didn't please the right people either. But neither of them could be discouraged from living out their purpose and their calling to faithfully serve and meet the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ. It is my hope and my prayer that as God continues to gift us and empower us each and every day, that we might be able to go and to do and to say the same. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the mission and ministry of Jesus and the calling of your servant Paul. We know, O God, that you have blessed and anointed each and every one of us as well with gifts for use within your kingdom. We pray this day that we might claim them, that we might use them, and that today or tomorrow, every day for that matter, that we might faithfully use these gifts, that it might indeed be pleasing to you. O God, we pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn together, number 701. gracious and loving God, the race of daily life and living is before us. You have blessed us, anointed, and gifted each and every one of us with gifts from your Spirit to be used within the work and the ministry of your church. As we continue our daily journeys, O God, continue to bless us and use us, that the name of Christ might be proclaimed, that honor and glory might be brought to you and to your kingdom. Send us forth, O God, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.